Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
The title of my talk this morning is The Best Defense. And I think we're all familiar with the saying, the best defense is what? Is a good offense. Okay, we've all heard that. That's actually a misquote of a statement made by a great military strategist in the early 1800s in Prussia, a man by the name of Karl von Clausewitz. I know Rick knows about him. He studied, and a few of us who have a little bit of military background. And he wrote a book about how to win a war. The book was called On War. It's a military classic, and that was kind of his theory. But the real reason that I chose this title and this topic is because this Wednesday is kind of a special day. Anybody know what it is? Pearl Harbor Day. But which Pearl Harbor Day? It's a 75th anniversary, which is pretty significant when we start looking at those kind of things. One of the most devastating military attacks on the U.S. In 1941. But I also want to talk about it because of all the violence that's going on in the world today. The reason this subject appealed to me is because the entire world, if you look at the internet and the news as I do, the entire world seems to be caught up in a very fearful, defensive mentality, which is obviously based on the assumption made by most people that the world is a dangerous place. If you go out and ask anybody on the street right now, that's probably what they tell you. And as a result, because that's what they believe, everything they do, everything they say, and everything they think about ends up reflecting that belief that the world is a dangerous place. And that doesn't help their quality of life a lot. It kind of puts a damper on the fun level. Which is another reason I wanted to talk about it, because I want to say this up front. I believe that the world is not a dangerous place unless we choose to respond to the world in a dangerous way. Very, very important. I believe the world is only a scary place as long as we're doing scary things to one another. And I also believe that life is too important to be taken seriously. So if you combine those things, whether or not we live it that way, life is supposed to be fun, not scary. Now, it's kind of hard to do when we're inundated with all this information. So let's talk a little bit about this chronic defensive posture that we seem to be kind of warping ourselves into. Now, I'm not just talking about national security, though that's most of what's in the news, or ensuring our personal safety when we travel abroad. I know quite a few of you like to travel abroad to Europe, Asia, Australia, all over this beautiful world. But before we travel, if we are experienced travelers, most of us do a few things. We get all the latest news on the latest terrorist threats. You go to the Secretary of State's website and get the information on whether it is an orange day or a yellow day or a red day or a blue day or a green day or a purple day or whatever kind of days we have, based on something they call the current threat level, all right? And all of that stuff can really get to us if we allow it to. But this attitude of defensiveness that we seem to be living in goes even a lot deeper than that. There is an attitude today, I believe, among most people that we are not safe anywhere. And the media is trying to just exaggerate that belief. A lot of people believe they are not safe at home, at work, at the mall, or on the street. Everyone seems to be trying to protect themselves from an ever-lengthening list of hazards and dangers that permeate every area of our life. Let me give you a few examples. We have self-defense courses, right? Available to anybody who's afraid of getting attacked in the parking lot or somewhere, you know, and how to defend yourself with your hands and all these different martial arts moves or your keys or mace or a gun or whatever the defense course happens to be. We have defensive driving courses where we protect ourselves from drunk drivers or people who are texting or driving without insurance, all that stuff. In the financial area, with the help of CNBC, Wall Street Journal, financial advisors, we try to protect our assets from unscrupulous corporations and different things. The politicians are taking away all this stuff, we're told. They want to remove Medicare and Social Security, which affects our retirement, which leads directly to the topic of job security as measured by, I always love this, I like looking at some of the government names. They measure how scared people are by looking at the Consumer Confidence Index, right? Which ought to be called the Consumer Lack of Confidence Index, okay? We see that all the time. Over the last year, probably because of all the chaos and the rhetoric with the election, we have all been fed such a diet of fear about the economy and the world that very few people feel secure anymore. And then we got the area of health. We talk about that, where we try to defend ourselves against aging and against disease, against things like heart disease and cancer and AIDS and Zika and Ebola. And I don't know what the latest one is. They'll probably have a new one today. So we go into our gym and we use the hand sanitizer and we try very hard. We exercise compulsively. We take a lot of different vitamins and all these things. We don't eat certain foods we like donuts and chocolate and all those other wonderful things in the world, not because it makes us feel better not to eat them, but because we're scared of the consequences if we do. It's all a certain mentality we get in. In all of these areas, we seem to be fighting, not you guys, but the people out there, seem to be fighting a constant battle, but we're never quite sure whether or not we're winning the war. So we do what we've been taught. The only thing that we were told we could do is we keep on fighting. We keep on fighting. But something we're starting to realize is fighting a battle that never ends can be very exhausting, especially if it doesn't seem like it's getting anywhere. So that's kind of the groundwork for today. So what can we do differently based on this teaching, what we talk about here? I think it's time that we take a good hard look at this aggressively defensive approach that we've taken and see if we can't figure out a better, healthier, and more effective way to deal with all these perceived problems that seem to be so widespread. And the reason I refer to these problems as perceived problems instead of real problems is twofold. First of all, no matter whose evidence or information or statistics we use, not everyone has a life filled with problems. Just because you do doesn't mean everybody else does, okay? The truth is, there are plenty of people out there, you know them as well as I do, and many of you are included, who are leading healthy, happy, prosperous lives doing work that they love. There are all sorts of people out there doing that. In spite of what we may hear on the news or from our Facebook friends, at least the ones we haven't unfollowed or unfriended so far, happy people do exist. And in most cases, the reason these people are able to live this way is not because they're lucky. It's not because they were just born a certain way or in a certain place. It's not because there's a God who likes them more than he, she, or it likes other people. It's simply because they have a different set of beliefs about life than the rest of the world. It really is that simple. Now, the second reason I say that many of the problems we're being made afraid of are not real is not because I don't believe they exist. I'm not sticking my head in the sand saying everything's hunky-dory and we need to sing the peace song all the time. Okay, that's not me. I'm simply pointing out that all of these dangers that we face do not need to exist from this moment forward. They may exist now, but they don't need to exist tomorrow. In other words, anyone, anything, any circumstance that appears to threaten any part of our world or our well-being, whether it's our personal safety, our money, our health, our home, our job, whatever it happens to be, any perceived threat, large or small, is no more real than we, as a race, allow it to be. No longer. No matter how long it's been around, no matter who appears to be doing it to us, no matter how serious or imminent it appears to be, it only exists. It only exists because there is some sort of a belief or an idea held, either consciously or unconsciously, by everyone alive that is keeping it alive and giving it power. That's the only reason all these problems exist. So the best way to deal with these problems over the long run is not to attack any one or anything. It's not to kill or imprison the people who seem to be doing it to us, and it's not to build a wall to keep the problem out. I talked about that a few weeks ago. The only intelligent solution that is ever going to work is to change the belief behind the problem, is to change the belief behind the problem until the condition or the appearance or the so-called threat changes into something, it transforms into something that we can deal with in an intelligent way. That's what we have to do. And the most effective way to accomplish that, in fact, the only way we can do it that'll make any sense at all or any difference, is to change our own thoughts and beliefs about it, which is where that catchy little New Age slogan comes from. If it's going to be, it's up to me. You know, I always hate those things. They're kind of awkward. But anyway, that one makes sense. Now, the one and only solution, which, by the way, is a mental and spiritual solution, go figure, is to consciously change the way we see the situation that we're facing. That's first. To know with complete faith that something better exists, even if we can't see it yet. That's second. And to be willing to let whatever needs to happen, happen. That's third. Now, that may sound easy or simplistic, but I assure you, it is not. Now, you may have noticed that when I talked about creating solutions to the world's problems or our own problems, I did not mention the words protect or defend. I didn't use those words. And there's a reason for this. It's because words like protect and defend in the current mentality are reactive words. And what we want is a proactive solution, a creative solution. I mean, there are all sorts of examples we could use to show that this is the only approach that will ever really work. We could look at the Berlin Wall coming down. We could look at all that Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement did. We could look at the Women's Rights Movement, the Human Rights Campaign with gay marriage, all of these things. A spiritually grounded message of positive, non-defensive proactivity. Let me say that again. Positive, non-defensive proactivity was actually the power behind the success of Gandhi and the whole nonviolent opposition movement and that Dr. King used so much. Even if we look at something as complicated as the Middle East, this approach could work. You see, the truth is, and this is not something that you will hear talked about in a lot of the discussions on television or on the internet, if every person on either side of an argument decided, based on the teachings of their own religion, if nothing else, to respect all life and to respect the rights and beliefs and religion of every person, that's simple. If everybody would decide that, the problems we've been dealing with and supposedly defending ourselves against would disappear, would absolutely disappear almost overnight. And whether or not you think this is possible, because if you go out and say this to most people, they'll go, you know, right, Wonderland, you're dreaming. If it did happen, drop all skepticism. If it did happen, think of what the world would look like. Virtually overnight. No fighting, no conflict, no shootings of unarmed people, no shootings of police officers, no terrorism, no war, none of those things. Peace, cooperation, and mutual respect. That's the only thing that could replace them. It would be the greatest accomplishment of all humankind up until now, right? Far beyond anything we've ever done before. Now, is this possible? That's a legitimate question. A lot of people say no, but I say yes, all right? Is it easy? No. But is it possible? Yes. Why? Here's the reason. Because all it is an idea. All it is an idea. And anything we can conceive, we can achieve. That's in the cover sheet of The Science of Mind by Dr. Holmes. That's what all the great teachings have told us. In fact, we've been demonstrating this for thousands of years. Here's the truth, whether you believe it or whatever people tell you on the internet. Healthy, creative, positive ideas have always created wonderful, productive, life-enhancing solutions. Always, always, always. On the other hand, negative, selfish, destructive ideas have always created negative and destructive results. The only thing that has saved us and allowed us to get to the point where we are is something called the law of life, or the law of mind, or as we call it, the science of mind, which ensures, because it's a law, that destructive ideas always end up destroying themselves and the people supporting them. Always, always, always. Read the history. While productive ideas, creative ideas, passionate, life-affirming ideas always expand and attract more good people and more good ideas, creating growth and positive change in the world. The problem is, and this is important, if you get nothing else today, get this concept. The problem with a defensive mentality is that we are caught in the strange dilemma of trying to protect ourselves or to destroy something that we ourselves have created. Let me say that again. Think about it, because it's very important. The problem with a defensive mentality is we get stuck in the dilemma of trying to protect ourselves from something that we ourselves have created. So even if we do manage to destroy it, we'll just keep creating it again and again and again. That's what we've been doing for thousands of years, all right? And we'll have to deal with it again and again and again. Einstein said, one of my favorite quotes, many of you have heard me say it before, he says, the problems we have created cannot be solved at the same level of consciousness we were at when we created them. They cannot be solved at that level. We have to transcend that level. You see, whatever dangers we are facing in our own life or in the world, what we're trying so hard to defend against, the only sure thing that we can say about it is that it has existed up till now because our belief in it has existed up until now. But it doesn't need to exist 1 minute more. So the answer is not to fight the thing that we fear or to defend ourselves against it. The answer is to raise our consciousness above it. Above it. The answer is to get more excited about creating a positive solution than we are about fighting a problem. That's what we have to do. And we can't do that. We can't do that when we are spending all our time and all our energy and all our creative power focusing on all the terrible things that might happen to us if we don't defend ourselves from what's going on. It's totally distracting. This is just as true if we're dealing with a tumor or a virus or an illness in our own body, with our business problems, or if we're trying to defend our country against some external enemy. Now, I know a few of you were raised with, what was it? Oh, the Bible called. Okay, great. All right. In the Old Testament, right? Amazing book, historically interesting. There was a book called the Book of Job. Everybody remember that? And there was a saying in the Book of Job that said, lo, the thing I fear has come upon me. Heard somebody finish, right? Lo, the thing I fear has come upon me. Now, there's a very sound metaphysical reason behind that statement. While most of us are aware that fear is not a good thing because it kind of gets in our way and keeps us from thinking about the truth, what we don't realize is that defending ourselves, and I put that in parentheses, from the world around us is a fear-based response. Being defensive is a fear-based response. And we have become so confused that we think we have to defend ourselves from danger so that we don't have to be afraid. It gets very, very convoluted. All right? The problem with that kind of logic is that the moment we focus completely on defending ourselves against terrorists, disease, financial ruin, we have lost our freedom to see and to act upon a better idea. We've closed our mind off to a better idea simply because we are so locked into being defensive. When we focus only on the immediate danger, instead of getting a better idea, which we can always do, we are actually directing the one mind to maintain or expand the problem. That's what we're doing. Because the problem is all we're thinking about. If we're defending against something, that's all we're thinking about. And whatever is strongest in our consciousness is what's going to show up in our experience. All right? Let me give you a quick example. Let's say that I hate poinsettias. Okay? Now, last thing I want to do is stand up here for half an hour looking at poinsettias. Actually, I like them. I grew up in Florida. I love them. But let's say that. Now, I could come in here and through this entire talk, I could do this. All right? I could focus on my talk. I could look at you guys. I could do this. You know, when I go over here, I can go like that, you know, all the way through. And if I did, two things would be true. Number one, I would not have to look at poinsettias. And number two, they are controlling every move I make. Every move I make. That's why Abraham Maslow, the great psychologist, said, when the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem starts to look like a nail. That's the same thing. That's what defensiveness is. When we are constantly fighting and trying to overcome any perceived danger outside of us, we are actually being possessed and controlled by the very thing we seek to control. You get it? That's what we're doing, okay? That may sound counterintuitive, but it's absolutely true. I think it's safe to say that what most of us want is security in our life. We want security for ourselves, for our family, for our country, for our way of life, that kind of thing. But true security can only be based on faith, not fear. The dictionary, it's interesting. I looked at it and I love this. The dictionary defines security as freedom from fear, care, or anxiety, a feeling of confidence, safety, and certainty. Notice, it doesn't say freedom from danger. It says freedom from fear, which is an entirely different thing. You see, true security in our life is not a physical state of being. It is a spiritual state of mind. It's not a physical sense of being, state of being. It's a spiritual state of mind. And I say it's spiritual because spiritually is the only level where we are capable of having faith in something greater than what we can see. You see, we can never achieve physical security by fighting against things, by building walls, by trying to lock them out. Look at it through the past. The war on poverty, the war on drugs, the war on all the different diseases cannot succeed. They cannot succeed because when our mind is constantly working, trying to anticipate what bad thing may happen next and how we can defend ourselves against us, the one thing we can be sure of is we're going to have more of that thing that we have to defend against because we focus on it so much. But if we consciously choose to focus on the world around us as potential perfection, which is truly what God is, what Spirit is, potential perfection, ready to be revealed. All right? As sort of seeing the world as a stage where we can always rewrite any performance and create an entirely different result. If we do this, we will not only empower ourselves to create a world that works, we'll also to create fewer and fewer things to defend ourselves against. I mean, I say spiritually, we'll start to be able to look at the world from a divine perspective rather than a fearful and insecure perspective. Knowing what the great scientist Marie Curie, amazing woman, once said, she said, nothing in life is to be feared, it is only to be understood. Nothing in life is to be feared, it is only to be understood. You see, when we feel the need to insulate ourselves from something that we don't understand, which is the only reason we really try to defend against things, if we try to separate ourselves from it, we forfeit our ability to understand it. We forfeit our ability to understand it, which makes it virtually impossible for us to change the relationship between us and the thing we fear. So we end up with a stalemate. We defend more, they attack more. We defend more, they attack more. The thing we fear grows stronger. If we're just looking at the facts as they are presented by the news or whatever it happens to be, all we're ever going to be able to see is a concrete threat that needs to be met with something equally as concrete. That's a state of mind we put ourselves in. So what we need to do, instead of fighting against what we fear, is to focus our attention on something greater, on the spiritual truth behind the appearance. And that isn't something we have to get from anybody or anywhere else. It's a knowledge and an understanding that we were born with. Every single one of us. It's part of our spiritual birthright. It's a knowing that God, as the pure desire of life to express itself, is the only power there is. It's that inner ability we were all born with to see life as beauty and love and perfection and peace and joy everywhere we look, as long as we trained ourselves to know how to look for it. There's nothing in the world we have to defend against if we begin to build the world from consciousness that we are capable of building. So let me talk about safety for a minute. Safety is not security. Safety is an illusion. Safety is an illusion. There are no guarantees in life except the guarantee that life will give us more of what we expect. More and more and more. Which means we can never feel safe and secure in any part of our life if all we ever think about is how dangerous life is. Gandhi said, there's so many great quotes on this. He said, we cannot prepare for peace while simultaneously arming for war. We can look at that on a world level, but we can look at it from an individual level, okay? In the same way, we'll never feel confident about our job or our relationship or our money or our health if all we do is try not to lose it. Embrace it. Don't try not to lose it. Now, we can only do this individually at first. It begins in here with each one of us, okay? We only have the power to focus our own thoughts and our own beliefs and to hold our own opinions. But that's all we need. That is all we need. If we choose our thoughts and beliefs calmly and peacefully without being distracted by the fear-based, defensive, external mentality of the world and recognize that we cannot be harmed, nothing can be stolen from us, and nothing can be forced upon us without our consent, something amazing happens. When we have that mentality, we start to attract more and more people into our life, into our sphere, who think that way. Have you noticed that? And the others just kind of drift away, the ones who want to be so angry. And together with them, our collective consciousness immediately begins to demonstrate to everyone that fear is the only mind killer. It really is. There's a wonderful story Dr. Holmes told. Dr. Ernest Holmes was the founder of this teaching, if you're new here. And he told a story in one of his talks. It was about a man who had a nightmare. And when he woke up in the nightmare, he wasn't really awake, he saw a horrible monster right there at the foot of his bed, salivating, cowering over him. And the man was absolutely terrified, and he pulled the blanket up to his chin, and he said to the monster, "What are you going to do to me?" And the monster says, "I don't know, it's your dream." You know? It's a great story. It's a great metaphor. Maybe it's time we stop defending ourselves against our own nightmares. Against our own nightmares. Maybe it's time we stop being afraid of our shadow or afraid of our reflection in the mirror, because that's all the world is. That's all we've been defending against for all of these years. We've only been fighting our own misguided ideas and warped creations. That's it. That's all we have been defending against. And once we tear down the walls, this is what's wonderful. Once we tear down the walls that we have built to create this illusion of safety, and by that I mean the walls out there, but especially the walls in here, which are so much stronger, instead of seeing the world the way we've been told that it is, we can start to see the world the way it could be. That it could be. And once we claim that vision, we claim that vision of what the world could be, we can all step forward together. That's all we'll have to do. And we can step forward, instead of an attitude of defending against those who are not like us, we can step forward in an attitude of mutual trust and respect and make this happen. And maybe it's time we did just that. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine, and so it is. And so it is. All right. Thank you. All right, let's take a moment. Fear is a powerful idea. It permeates society. It can permeate our mind if we allow it to. But fear cannot get in our mind if our mind is filled with spirit. If our mind is filled with God, with an awareness of the power that created the world out of itself, and maintains it through laws of its own being, recognizing that we ourselves are one with this power. We are not just a part of the world. We are the world and life itself existing as us. So each one of us has the power to fill our own mind with faith and love and peace, with respect for all others, and to allow no space in our mind for fear or anger or any of the emotions that do not support us. As we do this in every single part of our life, whether we're at home, at work, driving in traffic, or watching the news, we are careful to not allow fear to stay in our mind. It may enter momentarily, but we remove it by saying, I know something better. I know the presence of God is in, as, and through me, and I embrace that and give no power to these false ideas. So as you and I begin to look at the world as a beautiful place rather than a dangerous place, and recognize that so many of the things that are going on, so many of the people who are suffering, that all this is unnecessary, we start to create space in our own consciousness for something better to happen and create a space in the world for change to come. During this season of peace and love, we embrace this idea. We accept it and we give thanks for it. We give thanks for all the beauty around us, for all the people who are making a positive difference in the world. We do not criticize, condemn, or try to force anyone to believe what we believe. This is our truth. It is a deep spiritual truth taught by all the great teachers, and we accept it with love and thanks. So knowing this, knowing that these ideas are now the truth for me, in this moment, in every moment in my life, I accept them and I allow them to come forth from me and affect everything around me. Please join me in saying, and so it is.